Who is going to? Yulia?
So I will provide a quick update on the project overall, and then I will hand over to Marie Clark to provide an update on the consultative group. So in terms of where we are in the project, just to remind you that in September last year, we had the first meeting of the consultative group on management commentary that discussed the objective and principles for preparing management commentary. Following that meeting in November, the board discussed the objective of management commentary and broadly agreed that the objective is to provide useful historical, operational, and financial information that provides context for financial statements and that is useful to primary users in assessing prospects for cash flows and the stewardships of entities' economic resources. In January, we had the second meeting of the consultative group that discussed performance, position, and progress. We received a vast amount of feedback at that meeting, and we're still working through the detail, but Marie-Claire will give you an overview of the key themes that we heard at that meeting. Now, in the next couple of months, our plan is to further consult on the topics discussed by the consultative group in January. So we will be discussing the same topics with CMAC, GPF, and ASAP. Also in April, we will have the third meeting of the consultative group that will discuss business model, strategy, and operating environment. And following that, we plan to start bringing papers to the board in May, starting with materiality and principles for applying management commentary. And we expect to issue the exposure draft in H1 2020. Do you have any sort of questions or comments on the overall game plan? If not, I hand it over to Marie-Claire.
Thank you, Yulia, and good morning. So as Yulia mentioned, I would like to give you an update of the key messages we heard from the consultative group during their meeting on the 11th of January. And the discussion was on reporting performance, position, and progress in management commentary, with particular focus on the analysis of the financial statements and matters that could affect the entity's future development. So first off, the members overall agreed with the challenges the staff identified that need to be addressed in revising the practice statement, with particular reference to performance, position, and progress. And some of these challenges relate to the information currently being reported being of limited relevance or it does not fully address users' needs. Some members suggested additional challenges which should be considered in the project, including insufficient discussion of intangibles which are not recognized in the financial statements, the lack of conciseness in corporate reporting, including in management commentary, and the lack of comparability between entities. Some members also suggested it may be challenging for management to identify information that is useful for users and asked for more guidance on how to identify such information in the revised practice statement. The members next discussed the application of principles for preparation of management commentary to reporting performance, position, and progress. So members discussed whether the approach of preparing management commentary through the eyes of management was consistent with the principle of neutrality. Some argued that management would be biased and selective in what they include in management commentary, but others emphasized that management commentary can and should be neutral. A discussion we've heard before is that some suggested words balance and objectivity could perhaps better describe neutrality. And they also suggested ways of supporting neutrality in management commentary. Members also suggested on how to apply principles of verifiability, completeness, and comparability. Some asked the board to consider whether management commentary and financial statements should be viewed as a single reporting package or as separate reports, and suggested that this could have implications on audit and the role of cross-referencing in avoiding duplication. A few members suggested that other principles should also apply to reporting performance, position, and progress, including understandability, accuracy, relevance, conciseness, and narrative coherence. Next, members discussed the staff proposals on the analysis of the financial statements and management commentary. But the staff proposed that management commentary should include an overview of the key aspects of the entity's performance and position. Members generally agreed with the need for such an overview. Some members suggested that the overview should not just explain current performance, but it should link to strategy and outlook. To help users assess the extent to which the current period performance is indicative of the entity's ability to generate cash flows in the future, the staff proposed guidance on reporting particular items such as unusual and infrequent items, effects of macroeconomic factors, and effects of changes in the structure of the reporting entity. In principle, members supported providing information to help users make that assessment, but highlighted challenges with reporting such information. For example, they suggested it could be difficult to distinguish the effects of acquisitions on the entity's performance from the entity's organic growth, or to identify and discuss revenue synergies, since revenue is impacted by a number of different factors. The staff's proposals included guidance on reporting adjusted performance measures, or APMs, including in the overview of the entity's performance. Members suggested this is important for management commentary to explain both why particular APMs were selected and how they were calculated, including providing reconciliations to their unadjusted equivalents. Members also provided suggestions on the prominence of the APMs. Feedback also included that besides APMs, the proposed guidance on performance measures should consider non-financial measures as well as measures that address position. The staff's proposals also included explaining in management commentary the link between performance measures, particularly APMs, and management compensation. Some members suggested that incentivization should be discussed more broadly, for example, to cover not just management, but also other employees, or to explain the link between compensation and all key performance measures, both financial and non-financial. Next, members discussed the staff's proposals for reporting operational performance. The staff used the term operational performance to refer to income and expenses that result from the entity's main business activities, but members found the selected term somewhat confusing and also commented that they expected the discussion on operational performance to be wider than explaining the matters that affected the amounts in the financial statements and variance analysis. Some suggested that the analysis of operational performance should address matters that the entity can and cannot influence, and also include discussion of items not recognized in the financial statements. Regarding other aspects of performance and position, the staff proposed guidance on reporting tax expense in the management commentary to help users assess the sustainability of the entity's tax strategies. Members expressed a variety of views on this proposal. Members noted that there can be an overlap with the information provided in the notes to the financial statements and cautioned against application of information and suggested discussing tax in the context of the entity's strategy and risks. Members also noted that the discussion of tax can be a sensitive matter. On investing activities, the staff proposed that management commentary should analyze separately capital and operating expenditure and should discuss capital allocation decisions. In general, there was support for discussing capital allocation decisions, but members emphasized the need to explain how these link to strategy. They also asked for more clarity on how the proposed distinction between capital and operating expenditure ties in with what is capitalized in the financial statements. Members also highlighted that information on dividends and the performance of investments accounted under the equity method should be topics that are discussed and analyzed in management commentary. On financing position and requirements, the staff proposed guidance on reporting information to help users assess the entity's ongoing financing requirements, but did not propose to require reporting on viability. While members generally agreed with the proposed guidance, some expressed the view that management commentary should include a discussion on viability, identifying factors which could put the entity out of business, as well as a discussion on commitment, which would possibly be broader than the discussion included in the notes to the financial statements. In discussing the staff's proposals on matters that could affect the entity's future development, members expressed various views on the inclusion of forecasts and forward-looking information in management commentary. Some members said that the practice statement should encourage the provision of forecasts, while others expressed nervousness on requiring entities to publish these because of an increased risk of litigation. Some members also raised the point that the assumptions used in forecasts and scenario analysis should be consistent with those used in preparing financial statements, for example, to meet the requirements of IAS 36, impairment of assets. In discussing scenario and sensitivity analysis, some members suggested that if these forms of analysis are used internally for managing the business, they should then be discussed in management commentary, but perhaps at a lower level of detail. Members also commented that if management is unable to quantify an outcome of a particular material matter, they should not be silent on the issue, but instead provide qualitative information about it and discuss any uncertainties involved. The members raised other issues for consideration, including audit implications, commercially sensitive information, terminology, and flexibility in the structure of management commentary. We'll be covering these and other feedback received from the consultative group in more detail in the future board papers, so from May onwards. And I would also like to conclude that we will be publishing a summary of the consultative group meeting in the coming weeks. Thank you.
Amaru.
Thanks, Sas. No, it's just a comment to really commend the staff for such a detailed and rich summary of the initial feedback. My sense is that it's really excellent. The question I had was exactly your final comment, when this would be available for people to follow. This has been, in my experience, in particularly in Latin America, one of the projects that is really driving the attention at a level that is outside the traditional accounting community and bringing lots of interest from others that are not always involved with projects that we develop that deals with accounting matters. So it's an extremely important project. I think it's growing in terms of expectation. This is my perception. And the report is absolutely excellent, and I really commend it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anne?
Yes, thank you for the report. It sounds like the team and the consultative group have had a lot to chew over. So I want to ask you a question, and it's about how you intend to deal with an issue that, and I'll explain the issue in a minute. So the question is, have you thought yet about your strategy, how you're going to deal with this as the project evolves? And of course, the issue is one that you know about already, but it really came out today in the summary. And the issue is the difference between having a practice statement and the guidance that's in a practice statement and all the other pieces of legislation or other that will affect what goes into management commentary. So as you were talking, I heard you talk about things that relate to IFRS because you had APMs in there. I heard materiality, which relates to IFRS guidance. I heard things that would relate to a national regulator or national law, like remuneration reports or governance reports. And then I heard reference to things that the regulators think is in their domain in terms of a lot of regulators regulate the MD&A. So back to my question. My question is, have you yet thought about what your plan will be, the way that you will consider those things as you develop the project?
Shall I pick that one up? So, absolutely, it's a very important question for the project and one we discussed with the board advisors earlier this week, actually. I think in very broad terms, one can see that national regulatory requirements are generally written very broadly. So, for example, there's a requirement to describe your business model, but there's nothing to tell an entity underneath how to go about that and to tell them whether they've given an adequate description. And so the attractive feature of the practice statement potentially is it provides a means of meeting local legal and regulatory requirements, and those tend to have a similar theme that is consistent with the wording in our original practice statement, which is helpful.
And maybe if I just add a little bit to that, in terms of our own guidance, such as conceptual framework and materiality practice statement, of course, as we develop the proposals, we will make sure that they're consistent with our existing guidance, and we will also be liaison with the PFS team to make sure that anything we develop in this project is consistent with what's developed in other projects. So that's very much high on our list. And maybe another observation regarding the level of detail. So we were very conscious that we need to be quite careful in providing enough guidance in the revised practice statement to support its rigorous application, but at the same time not to be overly prescriptive. So as we work through individual topics, we will be trying to achieve that appropriate balance.
Sue?
I think you probably partly answered my question, which was sort of linked to what Anne asked, but focusing on one specific thing. So when you're talking about alternative performance measures and talking about reconciliations and things, I just wondered how we're going to deal with the fact that that's quite a close cousin, if not a duplication, of some of the things that we're talking about in PFS, where we've talked about actually requiring in the notes some of those things. So so we're going to try and obviously try and make sure that we've thought about how on earth we get those two sort of very similar things to work together.
Yes, that's very much how I agenda.
Because it's a little bit odd to say non-mandatory guidance on stuff if we're at the same time saying required stuff that's very similar in the notes.
I think two things there. One is, everything we're doing is about building out from the financial statement. So we never find ourselves in that sort of position of conflict. But there are some specific considerations when you come to presenting APMs in a management commentary, and that's where we feel the practice statement potentially can sort of needs to say more than the primary financial statements project might. And of course, APMs also can sort of be broader. They can cover things like ratios, which wouldn't necessarily belong in the PFS project.
Nick?
Thank you, and thanks to the staff for a very clear update. I mean, I think there were some interesting interrelated issues discussed in the meeting. We've touched upon duplication, and in particular, big picture, should these be thought of as one report or two separate reports? And I think it's important we think of this as at least a coherent report in totality, and certainly we should avoid duplication at all costs. And there's an opportunity. I mean, duplication will frustrate users, I think, but also there's an opportunity through cross-referencing to take people who perhaps forgotten about the back half of the reports back into that reporting to see some of the stuff there. So very keen that we do that. It's not just APMs. We unusual and infrequent was also mentioned. Clear opportunity there. I think the other trap we have to avoid, and it was particularly pertinent in the discussion about tax, is if we feel there's something which isn't quite delivering in our standards at the moment, we shouldn't use management commentary as a substitute for doing that. We need to address the underlying issue in the standards rather than lean on management commentary for the answer. But overall, I'm very keen that we have this cohesiveness or sense between the financial reports and the narrative reporting.
You may have noticed that we are accompanied by a photographer now. His assignment is to make a series called Accountants in Action. That assignment is even more exciting. Actuarians in Action. But I urge you to look as energetic as possible. Are we supposed to take the water bottles off the table to not interfere with our images, etc.?
There are bottles down.
One comment I would like to make is hearing from the staff how they plan to go ahead and bring topics to the board table. I think it would be very helpful to the board if, rather than starting with very specific topics like materiality, etc., that the board receives a broad picture of what the staff thinks the end product should more or less look like, so that we can get a bigger picture and then dive into the details later. That is something that we often lose track because we just talk about isolated topics of a project. And then when we start seeing the bigger picture, then we might not like it. So I would really urge the staff to give at least a broad overview at the first meeting with the board.
So start with an overall architecture.
Yeah. Sue?
I had one other specific comment, and you've probably already thought of it, but just for completeness. So I can't remember where it was now. Maybe when we were doing the ED on potential amendments to IFRS 8, we talked about things being within the annual report or something like that, and just your observation about thinking about the document as a whole. My recollection was we got some pretty negative feedback in terms of how we define the boundaries of that.
Yeah.
And I guess we just need to make sure we've thought about that feedback when we come to articulating anything that talks about what the scope of the document is that we're trying to get people to think of sort of as a as a suite, if you like.
Yes.
I'm not sure I was too convinced by the comments, but we'd better at least have shown that we've listened.
No, well, one of the challenges we have is that an annual report means something different in almost every geography. So sometimes it will include, for example, information on governance and remuneration. We naturally, we're talking about issues that touch on those areas. So it's attractive to be able to reference into them, but equally we don't want to be supporting references to documents that a user has to hunt for or may not even be in existence at the time of the management commentary.
And I guess some of the feedback we got was about clarity. Like when we use some of these terms, does it mean that, you know, do people understand what we mean and is it a consistent
yes.
concept? So I look forward to your answers.
So do I.
Anne?
A lot of that material was in principles of disclosure. So I'm sure you're in liaison with them, but we got a lot of discussion about the cross-referencing, the boundaries of the documents, what we mean by primary financial statements and so forth. So I'm sure that there's a lot of background there that you can draw on from the principles of disclosure discussion paper.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.